Progress and Regress in the Pro-Life Movement. That's our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Ryan Bomberger of the Radiance Foundation. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Absolutely. It's great to be here with you.
Sure. And first of all, what is the Radiance Foundation?
We are a life-affirming, faith-based educational organization that loves to creatively illuminate that every human life has purpose, whether you're planned or unplanned. And a large part of it's based on my own story of adoption, growing up in a tiny family of 15 with six brothers and six sisters, and 10 of us were adopted. It's also based in part on my own wife's story as a single mom who rejected the violence of abortion when she faced her own unplanned pregnancy. And that little baby girl's name is Radiance, the reason for the name of our organization.
Mm. And your own personal background, you were the product of rape.
My birth mom experienced the horror and the violence of rape, but yet she was courageous enough to give me not only life, but the incredible gift of adoption. So I'm eternally grateful to my birth mom. Despite the violence that she went through, she was stronger than abortion.
You know, I bring that up not only because it's, you know, obviously a part of your life story and so forth, but it was because of rape that abortion became legalized, you know, through all these, different decisions, especially Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton. It was rape.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that was the first lie. I mean, Norma McCorvey, who was known as Jane Roe, the late Norma McCorvey, lied about being raped. And that's what led it to getting to court in the first place. But this is what happens. Rape is constantly exploited, especially by the pro-abortion left. They will exploit, you know, something that's already tragic. And the sad thing is they never talk about the punishment of the rapist. It's always about the elimination of the child who is innocent and, of course, the inevitable pain and suffering that is caused that you know the woman has to experience because abortion is the compounded violence. But, yeah, they exploit rape all the time in these pro-life legislation bills that even if they have the exceptions, it's never enough. But rape is the go-to all the time for those who want to justify the 99% of other abortions.
Okay, now you mentioned Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade has, for the first time in a long, long time, there's been a serious challenge against Roe in the U.S. Supreme Court. So when we talk about progress and regress in the pro-life movement, one would think that, you know, the fact that the Supreme Court would even look at this case, man, that's big. Did you follow the case? Or what do you want to say about the Dobbs case?
Oh, the Dobbs case is actually brilliant, and I'm grateful for the 2018 Mississippi law that actually banned abortions after 15 weeks. But the intent of the law was actually to overturn Roe. So there are those out there who say, well, you're only protecting some of the babies. The intent was actually to overturn Roe and Doe and to save all these beautiful, precious, unborn children, and, of course, protect their mamas. So, yes, we've been following – the Radiance Foundation has been following the Dobbs v. Jackson case. We've been involved in different ways and messaging, and it's really encouraging hearing some of the oral arguments from the case at the Supreme Court because the leftist justices were so incompetent, so inarticulate about defending the indefensible position of abortion. On so many levels, I can go into specific examples. Sotomayor, for instance, Justice Sotomayor talked about was denying that there were actual medical advancements in the last few decades. There have been, you know, profound medical advances. She also denied fetal pain, which we know can be even earlier than 20 weeks gestation. And then she bizarrely said that an unborn child, a fetus, is not viable until 23 or 24 months. So apparently she thinks that women are pregnant for over 2 years. Anyway, it was such a sad defense from the leftist justices. And to hear some of the great probing questions from the other justices, particularly the five more conservative justices, there are many people who are encouraged to think that the Mississippi law will be upheld and even possibly there will be a direct challenge to Roe itself.
And what would you comment about the hysteria that we saw even outside the building when these proceedings were going on?
Well, that's what – unfortunately, I had COVID at the time, so I wasn't able to actually be there. But it was an amazing – there was an amazing pro-life rally. The pro-life movement really pulled together – an incredible array of women who were speaking in defense of life, and the number of pro-lifers there, I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I saw it from, you know, live stream, but I've never seen anything like it. The numbers of pro-life people out there to defend mamas and dads and their babies, and to stand up for Dobbs v. Jackson, of course, and stand for the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It was really a profound, just a profound moment. And this is very historic, which is why the other side, the pro-abortion side, is terrified of actually losing their, you know, their alleged right. It's not even a constitutional right. There's nothing in the Constitution that gives anyone the right to kill another innocent human being. And so they are rightfully, I guess, you know, scared that their precious, you know, abortion rights, and putting that in quotes, are being challenged.
But it seems that, I mean, obviously the media is with the pro-abortion side of things. I guess they have been for quite a while. But for example, I remember even seeing pictures. Now, this is related to the hysteria issue. I saw images of women outside the Supreme Court who were in so much in favor of abortion that they were actually supposedly taking pills to actually create an abortion, you know, on themselves. And by the way, comment about the pills. This is a kind of a new phase of abortion. A lot of abortions aren't necessarily elective surgery and anymore so much as using medication and pills.
Right. And that's why, you know, chemical abortions have increased significantly, unfortunately. And we see that devastation. What ends up happening is you have the pro-abortion left always talking about women's rights and women's health, but yet they do everything they possibly can to reduce the standard, to lower the standard for women's health. And that's what's happening with telemed abortions, where a woman is just left to herself and to deliver a dead baby into a toilet. Or, I mean, it's unbelievable. Constantly talking about the hangers and, you know, Roe back in the day, but yet they want that same Roe. They want that same back alley abortion to exist today by removing all kinds of protections. I mean, these are the same people that don't want any kind of regulations or accountability for abortionists or for these abortion facilities. They fight tooth and nail against what are called women's right to know bills, which fully inform a woman about abortion, about the physiological, psychological effects of abortion. Also tell women about the resources that are available, both private and public, if they choose to reject abortion, but yet, you know, Planned Parenthood and all kinds of pro-abortion politicians fight tooth and nail to eliminate these kinds of bills, eliminate the ultrasound bills too, so that a woman can actually be fully informed. So it's not surprising that they stage these dramatic, you know, little shows of taking the pill. One, we don't even know if they're even real pills, but this just goes to show the deep narcissism of the pro-abortion movement. That they don't, they're putting their lives in jeopardy. They're not popping candy in their mouths. And so it's actually heartbreaking to see episodes like this. But this is the desperation, just some of the desperation that we've been seeing in public.
And speaking of people protesting and so forth, it's very sad to see the way Brett Kavanaugh, who among those who know him personally, say this guy actually has a stellar reputation when it comes to treating women and giving, you know, new opportunities for women as much as he can. And yet, unfortunately, because he is pro-life or perceived as being pro-life, the left pulled out all the stops when he was nominated to the Supreme Court, and all kinds of lies were told about him in 2018. And to this day, some people are saying, like even AOC was saying, well, he shouldn't even be allowed to vote on this since he's so biased because he's so, you know, anti-woman or something like that. And it's like, oh, come on. Anyway, I'd like your comments on Kavanaugh, if you would.
Well, I stood up for Kavanaugh when all that insanity happened during his confirmation hearing. I mean, I can't even believe. I mean, it was reminiscent of, you know, Justice Clarence Thomas and what he had to go through. Oh, but this is the typical thing when you have the pro-abortion left. They call themselves feminists. I call them fake feminists because they will embrace a lie. No matter what it is. In fact, Joy Behar from The View basically said, you know, if politicians in their corner, you know, they can kind of let some of these things slide, you know, the accusations of rape or the accusations of misogyny. Well, that's not being pro-woman. And in the case of Kavanaugh, all the fabrication that happened because of the perception, we didn't even know at the time, the perception that he would vote pro-life, and that really was the entirety of it. But the moment a man is pro-life, he is supposed to be silenced, according to fake feminism. But the moment a man is pro-abortion, or as I like to call bro-choice, they want him to speak up as loud as he can. I mean, we had seven male justices who gave us the violence of Roe and Doe. But that form of patriarchy is just fine with fake feminism.
Okay, I mentioned earlier progress and regress in the pro-life movement. Any setbacks you want to mention that or some issues that, you know, some challenges before us?
Well, there will always be setbacks in the fight for justice. And the whole point is that we look at these little victories. I mean, even when one life is saved, our organization, the Radiance Foundation, works with pregnancy centers all across the country. One of the biggest victories is that we have nearly 3,000 of these centers that provide compassionate and non-judgmental care to those facing unplanned pregnancies. That's a huge win. And some of the setbacks is, you know, when you have nearly the entirety of our news establishment that is so radically pro-abortion, they don't even try for the semblance of impartiality. They're not – bias is not even a strong enough word. They choose, you know, advocacy over accuracy. And that's, for me, some of the setback, because the public is not truly informed and accurately informed about the issue of abortion, about, you know, even the issue of viability or Roe itself. Many people think that Roe only allowed abortion through 3 months. I speak on a lot of college campuses, and I can't tell you how many students think, oh, abortion's only allowed through the third month because of Roe. No, it allowed abortion through the seventh month, which they determined to be the point of viability. And then Doe decided on the same day allowed abortion through the entire pregnancy, including partial birth abortion and abortion for any reason. So I'm encouraged by some of these wins, and I'm really encouraged by what appears to be an upcoming win, even though we have to wait until about June, apparently, for the decision on Dobbs v. Jackson. But just what we're seeing in Texas on SB 8, the fact that the Supreme Court did not stop that bill. So thousands of babies are being saved in the state of Texas right now. So I'm just rejoicing over that win. Yeah, I will take a win anywhere we can get it where a life is saved and a mother is not exploited by $1 billion abortion industry.
You know, it's an interesting thing, too, because, I mean, 20, 30 years ago, we used to talk about 1.4 million abortions a year. Now it's about 800,000 or something like that per year in America. And that's 800,000 too many. But that's a big drop in the number. And it's my understanding that most of that is because of different states that have different laws related to abortion. And, of course, it's the science behind it, which has, you know, helped drive many of those laws. I mean, sonograms document the humanity of the unborn.
Oh, yes. And we know that the majority of women who are abortion vulnerable and see these images change their minds. I've been to many centers and many banquets, you know, keynoting a lot of banquets, and I hear the testimony of these clients. And I'll tell you, I never ever lose the awe of how God can move in these situations, because I hear these client testimonies and they attest to the fact that that ultrasound changed my mind. It changed my heart. It changed my boyfriend's heart. It changed my husband's heart. I mean, you hear this from these women who need a place of, you know, a place of rescue and sanctuary. And that's why I love the work of pregnancy help centers and pregnancy medical centers. But yeah, the technology, you see an ultrasound and you can't deny the humanity of that unborn child. But that's why the pro-abortion left wants to eliminate all of those possibilities. They don't want women to see that. They don't want them to be faced with the scientific truth, with the reality.
All right. Your website, please.
Radiance.life is the easiest way to get to us. You can also see us on social media as long as they don't censor us.
Which I'm sure happens sometimes. Okay. Thank you so much, Ryan Bromberger. Thanks for all you're doing.
Thanks, Jerry.